Luke chapter 8, we're going to be looking, start reading 4 through 10. 4 through 10. Are you ready? Well, be ready because I'm ready and I'm starting. Bible says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming in to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times. More than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand." Lord, I pray that you would give us understanding of your word this morning. Lord, that you would meet us here, Lord, that you would bring us something that we can go home with, Lord, so we can not be the way we walked in here, Lord. So it's got to have a shift in what is going on in our lives, Lord. And I am praying that you meet us right here today, and we'll give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. I have been telling you about the saga of my garage door opener. My garage door has an automatic opener. However, it has been manual of late, meaning that you hit the little clicker and it only goes up about 2 feet, or it don't go down all the way, or it'll start going down and it'll stop and it'll pop back up and start going. And so realistically, it's been kind of a pain. It's been kind of a problem. It's been kind of an issue. So I said, I'm done with this. I had this little third horsepower motor, and it was just struggling, trying to get that door up. And so I decided, well, I'm just going to put in a half horsepower motor. And I'm just going to jam that thing up, jam that thing down. I'm just done with this door. Well, I got that motor. Half horsepower Craftsman motor. Put that baby on that door. And it had this spot where it just kind of, the door would always stop with the other motor. And I'm telling you, that motor got to that spot and it just kept on pushing. And then I looked and I noticed that the bottom of the door was still not moving. And I looked up, and the top of the door was like going like an accordion, man. It was just like starting to bend in half. And I went over and turned off my half horsepower motor because it was bending and tearing up my door. And in disgust, I quit in defeat. My door was messed up. And I wasn't getting anywhere. Door wasn't moving. I just gave up. I was defeated. Jesus is talking about seeds. He's talking about 3 out of the 4 seeds are messed up. 3 out of the 4 seeds were defeated. Title of today's message: Seeds Supposed to Grow. Seeds Supposed to Grow. And in this, we see a turning point in Jesus' ministry. We go over to the Gospel of Matthew, and he tells us, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. I'm going to tell you what a parable is in a minute. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet: I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. And Jesus shifted gears in his ministry. And you might be wondering to yourself, I was wondering as I read this, why the shift? Why the change? Because things seem to be working out pretty well. He's got a big crowd. He doesn't even just have one more. It says large crowds were following him, giant crowds. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law last week we saw, they're inviting them on to their banquets and to their dinners. And you would think, man, this is working out pretty good for Jesus. But Jesus didn't think so. Jesus apparently was looking for more than crowds. Can I get a witness on this from somebody, please? Jesus is looking more than an invitation from dinner from a couple of Pharisees. Jesus was looking for more than fame. Jesus was looking for a change. He was looking for a change in the crowds. But the crowds were showing up and they were just wanting to see Jesus do everything. They showed up and said, Jesus, put on a show for us. Jesus, heal our sickness. Jesus, feed us. Jesus, take care of all of our issues. And that's not what Jesus was about. Right here, Jesus says that he was looking for fruit. He was looking for perseverance, diligence, effort. And what we see here is that Jesus' plan and the plans of the crowd were different, and what Jesus is doing is shifting gears to try and get the crowd on his plan. And as that becomes apparent, sometimes the people in the crowd say no. Big question today for you is, what will you say when the plan of God, when the plan of the kingdom of God becomes clear to you? Because some say yes, and some say no, and some just wither away. And I'm wondering, where are you at today? You interested in this? All right, let's take a look. A story with a hidden meaning. A parable. Where we get our word, I want to say parabola. No, it's a parabola. No, it's a parable. No, that's what this word. Let me look it up. I'm trying to... Parabole. Parabole? How do you say that word?
Parable.
No, the other word, parabole. It's a parabole. It's a literary term that means when you lay something next to each other and you make a comparison. Thank you, ma'am, for somebody who's educated more than me. Farmer went out to sow his seed, and I read this to you. He was scattering seed. Some fell along the path, was trampled on, ate up by the birds. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, it had no moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and when it grew up with the thorns, as the thorns grew up, it got choked out, and some fell on the good soil, where it yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Amen. A parable. A story with a hidden meaning. We talked about the crowds. We talked about last week the widow's son being raised from the dead, the healing of the sick, and the casting out of the demons, and the... And there was giant crowds coming from town after town after town as Jesus went. And there were some people that were following Jesus. And they were camping out. And the crowds would be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And there were some locals who would come out to hear what Jesus said. And Jesus spoke to them in parables. And he's done this before, but not so extreme. I mentioned this last week. Jesus said, let me show you what it's like when you hear the word and put it into practice. It's like a guy who's digging a foundation down to rock to build his house on. That's a parable, that he lines up the word and applying the word in your life to somebody who's actually building a house that is going to withstand a challenge in their lives. Now, Jesus takes his parable teaching to a whole new level. Because you can hear this parable, you can come away, you can hear this, and you can come away with absolutely nothing. Without some help, without an interpretation, you can walk away from this with nothing. And some of you, even with all the effort that has gone into trying to reach you with the message of the gospel today, will walk away with absolutely nothing. And that breaks my heart. Because it is the intent that you would receive the message of the gospel and it would change your life. Jesus gives an explanation. This is such a great parable. If you've been in church, if you've been in Sunday school, you've heard this parable. The disciples say, what does it mean? What does it mean? And Jesus says, let me tell you what it means. This is the meaning of the parable. How much more clear can it get? Can I get a witness on that? He says, the seed is the word of God. Praise the Lord. Pretty easy start right there. And then he breaks it down. Those along the path are the ones who hear. The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. There are some of you that will walk out of this room today, and the devil will come and snatch the word of God right out of your heart. And you'll be thinking, what are we talking about today? Some of you right now are just thinking, what's the score on the Charger game? Some of you are just distracted, and the devil is already at work. He said, see, because the devil takes that word away, they may not believe and be saved. You don't even have a shot. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy. Wow, that sounds so good. But they have no root. They believe for a while. You know some people that have believed for a while? Yeah. Believe for a while sounds good. They got all kinds of joy. But in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And they don't mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. That's what the Lord's looking for, is a crop. He's looking for fruit. He's looking for a return on his investment in you. Now, he says, let me tell you what it means. The seed is the word of God. The seed is my message that I'm bringing to you. Talking about Jesus bringing the word of truth. He says, I've come that I might bring the truths of the kingdom to you. Then he describes the four kinds of soil. The path. The hard dirt. The seed does not go in. And then the birds, the devil comes and snatches it away. And because it does not go in, you are not instructed, you are not trained, and you are ignorant. You are ignorant of the things of God. And if you are ignorant of the things of God, there is no hope for you. That's what Jesus says. There is no hope for you. You cannot hear, you cannot believe, and you cannot be saved. Why? You're ignorant. My intent is that you will not leave here ignorant today. We're getting a witness here. Come on now. All right. Number two is the rocky ground. The rocky ground. And he says that it springs up, and we got almost no topsoil in our backyard, and we planted these trees, and they started growing. They died. Why? Because there wasn't enough moisture to keep them living. And he says, in a time of testing, are you cool with being tested? Are you believing that you're going to be tested next week? Are you believing that, or are you looking back now and go, oh, that was a test this week? How'd you do? Because it says, in the time of testing, they fall away. Because the testing shows the shallowness of their faith. Talks about the opposite of perseverance. The time of testing will show if you are lazy. Some people just want to avoid the test. Too lazy. Okay? So we got ignorance and we got laziness. Now, the thorny ground. The thorny ground, people hear the word with joy. Woohoo! Jesus is my all in all. And people come in and people say their faith is an inch deep. Why? Because the cares of life choke out the word. Jesus is not the most important thing. I got other stuff going on. He talks about three things that'll mess you up. One is worrying. Oh, my. What's going to happen next week? You might be a worrier. You might be so worried that trust in the Lord is yanked from your heart and your life because you're worrying. Second thing he talks about is riches. Hey, church is fine, but I got to get my money. I got to get my stuff. I got to be shaking and baking. Don't be making this Jesus stuff too important. I got my stuff that I really got to worry about. So he says that the word can be choked out by worry, or it can be choked out by riches, or I just want to have fun. The pleasures of life will choke out the importance of Christ in your life. Which one hits you hardest? Worries, riches, or the pleasures of life? Write it down on your notes, because that's where the test is going to come this week. That's where the test came last week, and you might or might not have done well on it. When the tests come, they what? They fall away. It's rocky ground. And then you got the good soil. How do you know the good soil? You got noble and good hearts. And by persevering, you produce a crop. It's like, it's a crop, it's overflowing the basket. 100 times what was sold. See, now, if you are the good soil, you got fruit in your life. What kind of fruit? Money?
No.
Pleasures?
No.
Other kind? God fruit. You got God fruit. How do you get it? Perseverance. Three kinds of seeds. Which one are you? If you're the rocky seed, this has got to be your first time. Yeah, I guess it could be your second or third time, but you ain't going to be here very long if you're the path. Because the word ain't going in, you're being deceived, and you ain't coming back because this ain't nothing. So you got three different kinds of seeds here that are growing and that are faking people out. You got the rocky soil, you got the thorny soil, and you've got the good soil. And here's the thing. They all look the same for a while. The plants look the same for a while. But you know how you tell the difference? After a while, there's going to be fruit. Amen? All right. Point number two. Jesus, check it out now. Jesus is looking for questions. Jesus is looking for questions. His disciples asked him, what this parable, what's it mean? I mean, he told us this story. What does it mean, Jesus? And he said, let me tell you what it means. He says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. And I want to let you know today that answers are available. Answers are available. Now, you read this scripture and it can be rather difficult to grasp. It can be rather difficult because it would appear that Jesus is concealing the message of God from these people. That he does not want them to understand. Saying, what is up with that, Jesus? Well, let me break this down a little bit for you. Number one, the secrets of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom. The word describes things which previously were hidden, but have now been made known. Like a mystery novel. You know, it's like, ooh, and then you read it and you get to the end. It's like, oh, okay, I got that. There is stuff that was concealed in the Old Testament times that are revealed in Jesus Christ, in his ministry and in his understanding. Now, Jesus says that these truths, these mysteries have been given to you. And you could ask the question, how? The answer is, Jesus is telling them. He says, I'm giving them to you right now. I am here to explain it to you. That's why they call them disciples. It means learners. Jesus was teaching them in these little private sessions. Question, are you a disciple? Are you learning? Are you asking questions? I'm going to take a little detour here. Because success comes supernaturally, folks. Not only do you need to learn, but you need some spiritual aid. Ezekiel 36:26, and I use this a lot. I used it recently. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. We're talking about the soils, right? Talking about heart. He who's got the good heart, the pure and noble heart. How do you get that? We've got to get it from God, because we don't start off with one. And the Lord is promising, I'm going to give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. See, you can't get there on your own. You've got to have some spiritual assistance. Everybody starts off with a bad heart. Everybody starts off predisposed to ignorance, laziness, worry, riches, and pleasure. And you can't get away from it without some help from God. See, we are predisposed to all these things. And what we are not predisposed is perseverance. We are people that quit on the short end. We are people that give up rather than keep on trying. We do not persevere naturally. And some of you are coming here today and you're feeling on the outs. Saying, I want to get in, but I don't even have a chance. This is rigged up against me. Well, I got some good news for you. You're in the right place today. Because you can get some help. You can ask for assistance. Bible says, Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And if you are feeling lost today, if you are thinking that you need some help, the Holy Spirit is available to guide you through so that you will persevere. You know, that whole night after I put in that motor, I was thinking about my door. The only thing that was left was the spring. There's a great big old spring that's at the top of that thing that rolls it up and lets it down. And I'm thinking, I think the spring is wrong. It's the only thing left. I call up tech support. And I'm talking to the guy, and I said, man, the only thing I've messed with is the spring is at the right one. And we go through, and he's talking about it and talking about it. And he says, well, you got all the right stuff, but it sounds like maybe that spring is compressed, and as it's spinning, it's rubbing against each other, and the friction's what's hanging you up. So as the thing's all, you know, compressed up and all filled with this energy, I want you to get these tools. And he goes, I want you to loosen it up and see if it flexes out. And sure enough, I did all that, and it flexed out like 2 inches. Tighten that baby back down, hit the button. Perseverance. How do you get fruit in your life? Perseverance. What does that take? It takes work. And many of us don't like work. Many of us don't like effort. You're going to have some success in your life. You're going to have some fruit in your life. You're going to have your success in your Christian life. It's going to take some work for you to figure it out. It's going to take some effort for you to figure it out. And some people just say, I don't think so. I'm just showing up so that God can fix all the stuff that's messed up in my life. I don't want to do no work. I want Jesus to do all the work for me. And maybe that's you today. I'm saying a prayer right now. Point number three. Jesus explains the program. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar, puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in. Now, I want you to notice that this is the very next verse after the explanation of the seeds, and they go together. So often we can think, and this sounds like another parable that Jesus talked about, you're the light of the world, and nobody does it. It's not. It goes with the seeds. Right. He says, instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light, for there is nothing hidden. Right. Like the meaning of the parable. Can I get a witness on that? Right. There's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. See, Jesus is explaining the program, and the message is intended to be understood. And they're asking questions. These verses here help us to understand what Jesus is doing. The light is intended to be seen. The message is intended to be understood. He says, nobody lights a light and hides it under a bowl, but lights are intended to be seen. Can you see that light? Is that light bright?
Yeah.
It's intended to light up a room when you're working. And so the word is intended to light up your life. And when you light this, you light it for a reason, because you don't want to be in darkness. And so Jesus says, I'm not wasting my breath here. He says, I am bringing you something so that you can understand. He says, I'm about my Father's business. I got to preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that's why I was sent. And I want you to understand the message. It's a message of transformation. And people, massive crowds of people, are coming for the wrong reason. I don't want problems in my life. I want Jesus to come and fix everything. It's like, hey, I need a garage door repairman. Get him over here now. Why? I don't want to deal with my garage door anymore. I want somebody else to deal with it. So many of us are here today so that God can fix our problems and we can stay the same. And that is not the program, folks. You're messed up because you've got to get fixed. And God will help you with that. Check it out. There's a risk, folks. You come into God's house today, there's a risk. God's not playing around. You might think he's playing around. You might think he's Santa, but he's not. He says, consider carefully how you listen. Why? He's worried about him. He's worried about his popularity. He's worried about you. He's worried about what you're going to do with the word. He says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, this is good, folks. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has is going to be taken away. And he says, there's a risk. Think about your response. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider how you listen. What's the mark of the good soil? Mark of the good soil was fruit. How did the fruit get there? By persevering, the people who hear the word and persevere, they produce a good crop. Here's the issue. Jesus wants you to do something with his message. He wants you to climb. And many of you come in here today and think, I'm not here to climb. I'm here to be entertained. I'm here to get some barbecue after church. And then I'm hoping I'm going to catch a ride home with somebody. But you talk about work. You talk about perseverance. You talk about climbing. Oh, I get to find me a new church. And you know what? There were people in Jesus' time that thought that. And he let them go. Jesus is concerned. See, so many of us today, we hear the word and we receive the word and we think that's the end. But that's the beginning. I mean, they say, hey, they received the word with joy. And then testing comes and trials comes. And you got to work through this stuff and persevere. And people, I didn't sign up for this. I'm gone. Be careful how you listen. Be careful with the message. Why? Because there are some people who think they got something.
They didn't get nothing.
And they don't have a thing. People here today, some of you think you got something and you don't have a thing. They're still operating in ignorance. So what does God do? God takes away what you think you got.
Amen.
So you're not like that growing plant. That's what you look like. That looks like a lot of people's lives. And some people look at that and they think, how terrible of God. How mean of God to come and take what I got. Why does God take it? So there won't be any doubt. See, it's actually an act of mercy. Sounds so cruel. I'm losing what little I have. But God says, no, see, child, you really don't have anything. And I don't want you to be fooled by that little bit of stuff that you've surrounded yourself with. Because it's not gonna last. It's not going to do anything for you. Jesus says, I don't want you to have any false security. Lord says, you received my message. Devil's going to be messing with you. Seed's supposed to grow. Devil's going to be messing with you. The challenges of life are going to come at you. They're going to hit you right in the teeth. The desires of your life are going to distract you, and you're going to have to stay on track. And we come in here today, and we want God to handle all of the issues in our life. And God says, no, that's not what I'm here for. And many of us say, God, I'm out of here. He says, okay. Many of us just turn away. And we wither. He wants us to know that when we're turning away from Him. But some say, the few say, explain it to us, Lord. Jesus, what's going on? And Jesus smiles. He says, you're the ones I'm looking for. Jesus says, to who? To those who have ears to hear. To those who have listened carefully. To those who come and say, Lord, can you show me? Can you send me a guide? He says, I got you. You're the ones that I'm looking for. He says, there's challenges that are coming your way. They're going to hit you with incredible force. And he says, you're not ready for it. But I'll get you ready for it. He says, I'll be with you. He says, there's no way you can withstand them. And we say, but Lord, if we're with you, I'll be able to sidestep all this. He says, no, child. If you're with me, they're even going to be worse.
That's right.
But I'll empower you to get through. I'll equip you for victory. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He says, I want you to learn to climb. I want you to learn how to persevere. I want you to learn that victory. And as you pass through the challenges of your life, you will experience victory. And as you pass through these challenges, you're going to come to know me more and more and more. And as you pass through these things, you're going to grow. Because seeds got to grow. Lisa's going to come up and play. We finish. I want to pray. No, don't clap. Don't clap, please. Lord Jesus, just please be quiet. Lord Jesus, as you come here, Lord, I pray that you would bind every distraction, Lord. Lord, that there are those that are here for the wrong reasons, Lord. There are those that are here that are withering in their lives, Lord, that little by little by little, that what they thought that they had is being taken away, Lord, that the things that prop up their lives are falling over and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And they're coming to a point where they got nothing left to live for, nothing left to believe in, Lord. And I thank you for the mercy that happened in my life, Lord. And that I came to acknowledge, Lord, that you were the only way I could live, that you were the only way that I could survive. And Lord, this morning, for that person that is here and not understood why there's failure after failure after failure in their life, that there is no growth, that there is no fruit, that there's no hope of growth and there's no hope of fruit, Because there's no depth to their faith. There's no depth to their life. Lord, I pray right now by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you just begin to minister to that person.